Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Tech and Law Insights, hosted by Lurie.ai. I'm your host, Rupa, Chief Product Officer at Lurie. Today, we're excited to have Vanessa, our Chief Operating Officer at Lurie, joining us. Vanessa brings a unique blend of legal expertise, athletic leadership, and tech innovation to our discussion. Let's dive right into her experiences and insights on the intersection of law, intellectual property, and AI. Thanks for being on the show, Vanessa.
Thanks for having me, Rupa.
Awesome. I have a question for you about your previous experiences in athletics and as a leader. As a former D1 basketball player and captain at Princeton, who led your team to NCAA victory, how has your athletic background influenced your leadership style at Lurie?
It's funny you ask me this question. I just had my business strategy class today, and we basically look at case studies of startup fails and successes. And one of the through lines we were talking about were founders who are not team players, and how that trickles down to culture and ultimately affects the long-term success and also their long-term position in the company. So I think to answer your question about like how my athletic experience has colored how my leadership style at Lurie, I am trained to be and always thinking about like a team mentality and getting to the ultimate collective goal. And so I think in every situation, I'm always just looking to see how we can move forward together. Just for example, I like to think that I am the best sixth man on a team. Mm-hmm. And if you get that sports reference, it means mostly that your role is to do anything and everything possible, pick up the slack, lead from behind, be consistent, and just do whatever the team asks or needs of you. And I think my role very much embodies that. Like we're a really lean team right now at Lurie, and we all wear multiple hats, but I think I kind of naturally fell into this position because I have just been willing to do a lot of the grunt work and like administrative things that, you know, we don't want to hire someone else out to do, and we want to make sure that one of our teammates stays on top of it. So I like to think that I just show up for the team by doing everything that needs to be done.
I completely agree with that. You've really been a backbone for this organization, and I'm sure as a fellow team member and captain. My next question for you turns to AI and legal. AI-powered document review is becoming increasingly prevalent. How do you think this will change the role of junior lawyers and paralegals?
I think this is a good question. People at every technological threshold, we'll say, there's always fear about how the new inventions or the new innovations are going to change the industry, how they are going to outsource human contributions, et cetera. Right. But I think that we are wise enough now on the other side of the internet boom to understand that a lot of these technologies are going to help us become more efficient in the work that we do. So I only see AI powered tools as a tool that empowers junior attorneys and paralegals to do their work more efficiently, to be able to cover a broader scope of work, a higher volume of work, and also to have kind of a second automated brain that you can essentially train to do your work with you. So I think of it more as like we're going to be not cyborgs necessarily, but we're going to have capabilities that we never had before to be able to enhance what we were already doing.
Thank you for that perspective on the AI side. My next question is about digging a little deeper into these concerns about AI hallucinations and inaccuracies in legal AI tools. And digging a little bit deeper into the legal professional's perspective, how does a lawyer or law student ensure the reliability of AI-generated information?
I'm only a 2L in law school, but my understanding of the industry and the skills required of an attorney is that it always falls on us to do the hard work of reading closely. So I think that these concerns about accuracy and fidelity of work product are not new, and in fact are exactly what we've always been asked to do as attorneys, and even what we're trained to do as law students, which is pay close attention. And so I think that as AI will probably increase the volume of work that we have, or how the velocity with which we're able to do our work, it's still going to be on attorneys to sit down and review our work products, to check for accuracy, to ask questions, and to make sure that we're putting forth the most accurate legally sound documents. And I only see AI helping in this matter. You know, in the past, before AI, pre-AI world, if you can imagine, you know, there were checks and balances, and there were systems in place so that the final output that was sent out to the client had multiple eyes on it. And I see the same thing happening with AI. Like, no one is talking about putting in a prompt and then printing a document or sending a document directly to the client. Like, it's still going to be the work of attorneys to check their final products. And I think that AI will just, again, assist in that process, even of review. But that's still a core requirement within the legal field.
That's very interesting. So the efficiency gains will be coupled with this level of scrutiny and analysis that lawyers have, this high standard that they hold themselves to.
I think that's right. And exactly to your point, I think it's actually going to increase. We as lawyers and everyone are going to gain new skills on critical thinking, discretion, like information, like being able to pick out information, biases, being able to sift through the type of AI products that we're exposed to and see on a regular basis. So I actually think it's going to be a high tide for all of us, and it will raise our skill levels in being able to parse through this information.
Very cool. One statistic from Clio says that by 2025, it's predicted that 79% of legal professionals will be using AI in their practice. So how is Lurie preparing for this AI-driven future in the legal industry?
Well, first, I hope that we're somehow able to still connect with that other 21%. Mm-hmm. But I think that we fundamentally started thinking 3, 4, 5, 6 generations ahead about what this practice would look like and how AI would be embedded in it. So I think that we are building out tools with that in mind. We're building out tools that will drive human efficiency and innovation. You know, here at Lurie, we're developing tools for law students, for attorneys, and for lay people or folks that aren't working in the law, so that these tools encompass their daily lives and any sort of needs that they have that interject with the law. For law students, then, these tools will be foundational to their understanding and their approach to the law, how they learn, how their experience and expertise and mastery of these concepts grow over time and carry it with them into their professional career. That's why we have this idea of a briefcase. It's classroom to courtroom, right? We want these tools to be so integrated into people's everyday lives that it's just part of their daily practice. So trying to support and provide tools for law students and then carry that over to their professional career, where we want this to be as ubiquitous as, you know, as a Word document. This is we're not kind of reinventing the wheel here. We're just presenting a more enhanced wheel, if you will, like just better templates, better starting points, better outputs for attorneys. And so I think we're hoping to capture the majority of that 79%. And like I said, the other 21%, they might be about to retire and unwilling to learn new skills, and that's okay too. Wow. But I think this wave is coming, and we want to be part of, we want to be solution architects and provide real viable solutions for our customers to use.
I like that. And you have actually had experience working at law firms or legal departments.
conglomerates, partners, the senior partners at that law firm. I asked them, what is the best thing that I can do to get ahead in law school or prepare for a legal career? And they all said unanimously, learn as much as you can about AI. So it was even on people's radars back then, that wasn't that long ago. But fast forward to now, and I think every reputable law firm has some sort of AI task force, where they're tracking litigation, where they're tracking legislation to see what can and can't be done, what rules will be made. And they all are using some sort of proprietary or paid for AI services to help them with their workflows. And so I think that it's changing everything about the field from every angle, from internally how things are done to the type of work that lawyers are paid to do, like what type of issues are brought to their desk. Mm-hmm. To just, I think, just a larger framework shifting of how we even conceptualize intellectual property, like copyright law, Supreme Court. There are a lot of these larger meta questions about what does authorship look like now? What does it mean for, like, how much human contribution constitutes a satisfactory requirement per, you know, the copyright statute? All of these things are changing the way that how we think and how we practice. And so I think it's a really exciting time to be a part of the legal industry right now, and also to be contemplating and creating tools in the midst of this, like, fervor and excitement.
Thank you for that perspective. And it's very clear to me now, more so than before, how AI is completely reshaping the future of work and legal practice. I want to talk about your experience in legal writing and research. As someone passionate about efficiency in legal research, what AI trends or tools are you personally most excited about?
Yeah, I think it's a dirty secret in the law practice that research is a very unique skill. Yeah, I like this question. So it's a bit of a dirty secret, I think, within the law industry or practice. What I've seen so far and from speaking to attorneys, that especially when you're a junior associate and you're learning how to do your job as efficiently and as well as possible, you need help. You need help learning how to refine your search queries. You need help organizing your research findings and outputs to present it to the senior associate. Mm-hmm. And so I think that before AI, this was helplines for the major like legal research repositories, right? Like people, it's very common for attorneys to call like Westlaw or Lexis on the reps on the phone to get them to help with a Boolean search, right? Like, so I think that AI is just going to help do some of the same lifting that other resources have been doing for years in terms of research, legal research. And so by that, I mean more efficient starting places. When you have a legal question, having AI, having a model help you immediately sift through the cases, identify keywords, compare fact patterns with the issue at hand, and pull in relevant secondary and primary sources. I think that process of searching for relevant case law or relevant black letter law has always been the meat of what takes up a lot of, especially litigators' time, billable time. Mm-hmm. So AI, I think, is going to cut into that in the best way possible, and just create more efficient ways of sifting through and retrieving information.
Yeah, it's really exciting to hear about how AI tools can be a game changer, not only for legal practice, but also legal research. And I personally am very excited as well about some of the tools we will be launching here at Lurie to help with both of those things. I want to turn the discussion to our final question for today for you, Vanessa, and it's actually about ethics and AI. And law schools are beginning to incorporate AI ethics into their curriculum. What advice would you give to law students about preparing for an AI-integrated legal education?
Yeah, I just took a phenomenal class on AI and entertainment law. Our professor had been tracking and on the forefront of writing about AI and IP for years now. And so for her class, we had a final paper, and her requirements of us were very similar to some of the same kind of plagiarism, transparency, kind of ethics requirements that we've seen for years within the academy, which was to be forthcoming about how you got to work, like to be forthcoming about your output. So her request of us, we had to have citations, we had to have like a sources reference or bibliography. We also had to have some sort of AI disclaimer, where we just included like, I used AI for XYZ reasons. I used this specific model. Here are example prompts that I put in, and here are example outputs. And I think that level of transparency will take students a long way, because again, professors within the academic space are always interested in where are you getting this from and how much of this is your own thinking or thought process. It's not fatal. It's not a sin to reference someone else's work or to have some sort of automated tool to help you, for example, generate citations or generate your searches. You just have to be forthcoming about where that's coming from and make sure that it's in compliance with your own university's guidelines. I can say at my school, when we started 1L, they told us to not touch AI. Don't think about it, don't look at it, don't incorporate it. Of course, on the back end, there was no substantive way for them to check that, but I think they just didn't want us to get into the habit before they had kind of gotten their ducks in order about what they could and couldn't set up in terms of compliance and right. expectations of us. By day one of second semester, they were like, okay, so we want you to use AI now. We're not really sure how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it together. So I think it's going to be a collaborative learning process. I'm super excited. I feel like as a lifelong learner to see how students, whether in law school or otherwise, use AI to kind of further just to allow their academic experience and outputs and thoughts to flourish in a way in a reach that goes beyond what they had ever imagined.
That's really good advice for incoming law students or one else in terms of really taking ownership of your learning, but staying abreast of all these AI tools that your peers are also using. And so I think that's a really good piece of advice that can bring students closer to their professors and kind of help students take charge of their learning inside law schools and even, like you said, other students. This concludes our insightful conversation with Vanessa, COO at Lurie. Her unique blend of being a player coach, legal IP expertise and passion for AI innovation has provided us with a really interesting and informative glimpse into the future of law. Thank you, Vanessa, for sharing your expertise with us today.
Of course, Ruba, thanks for the invite.
Hopefully, we can bring you back on for a future episode, Vanessa, because this was really enjoyable for me and hopefully for our listeners. To our listeners, remember that the intersection of law and technology is constantly evolving, and it's essential for us to stay informed and adaptable. This is Rupa signing off from Technology and Law Insights. Until next time, keep innovating and exploring the future of law and technology.